Welcome back to After Hours with Amanda. I'm literally kicking off my shoes to get comfy with you because I can't sit in a chair with shoes on and be comfortable. Welcome back. Last week was our first episode and I actually uploaded it to YouTube as well. So I felt very savvy. If you're new here, welcome to the After Hours with Amanda podcast, the podcast that's for everyone where we do life together. I am still figuring out how to get my intro music onto the episode, but since this episode will actually air tomorrow, Wednesday, I'm gonna chat the gal that helped me with it and be like, hey girl, where do I put this in? Because I just want it to be always there. Maybe there's a place on the hosting site that I can. If you didn't already know, I got the cheer coach position. You guys, I'm so excited. I am going to buy an obscene amount of dum-dums, okay? Because there's not a kid alive that doesn't love dum-dums, right? Okay. And I've already been like planning my stuff. I'm like, okay, because it's the littler tiny people, okay? So we're dealing with the younger age group. So they're just happy to be there, right? They're just so excited. And so I'm like, okay, we're going to get our listening ears on. We're going to do the whole like, when you say, the girl's first grade teacher started this and she'll look at the class and she'll be like, waterfall. And everyone's like, shh. I'm like, can I do this? Can I do this with a group larger than a class size and younger than first grade? But I think, well, yeah, no, younger than first grade, but I believe in us. Also still forlorn about going to Disneyland. When is our next trip? I don't know. Everyone keeps asking me. I wish I knew. But today's episode, I'm very excited about because I did something that I haven't done before. And that was, I asked the besties, we have a broadcast channel on Instagram, and I asked the besties, y'all, what are we going to talk about today? Because there were several things that I wanted to talk about. And I was like, are we going to talk about relationships and marriage, relationships and friendship? Like, are we going to talk about addiction and grief and what that looks like? Because I've been doing that question and answer. And if you have a preference, let me know. Do you like when I do those Q&As on Sundays or Mondays? Maybe I'll take a poll too on the old platforms and see what everyone says because I want to be as helpful to you as I can. And so knowing what day is better for you for me to answer questions, Sunday or Monday are kind of whichever for me. So I'm like, let's take it to the people. But they chose the topic, the besties did, on our broadcast, and it was relationships. And let's just get into a couple disclaimers here. Don't hear what I'm not saying, first off, in anything that I say. Secondly, there are always specific circumstances where things are different. I am not an absolute person. I always say, tell the girls, I say, always, always, never, never are just not good ways to communicate. You always do this. You never do that. Absolutes are literally in any relationship. And today I really feel like we're just going to focus on the romantic. And I know the big question is, am I going to get Blake on the podcast? He lives, eats, and breathes for this family and all that he does. And I am so incredibly grateful for that. And so I'm going to try and plan this year, okay? Because in the next couple of weeks, it's just not, he travels a lot. So I'm going to try and nail down a time where him and I can do a fun Q&A. So what I will do is I will throw some, you know, question boxes up there and we'll be able to ask Blake some questions, which should be wild. Because if you know Blake, this is, let me put Blake in a nutshell for you really quick. Let's get a little into that. Blake in a nutshell was this. If a girl liked him and they were kind of talking and they were kind of getting to know each other and he, you know, they're starting to maybe date, maybe not seriously, but start to date. And he really knew that this was not someone, this is literally how he dated, except for high school, which I mean, who's this serious in high school? Nobody. But after his high school relationship, this was how Blake would let girls know that they weren't going to continue dating. He would say, I think you're absolutely wonderful. I do not see myself marrying you. And I don't want to waste your time when I know what a wonderful person you are and how many people out there are going to benefit for that. I don't think that we're a match. And like the nicest way possible. And I'm like, if you're going to, like, you date people to figure out if you want to be with them. And he's like, yeah. And when you realize that that's not a fit, you don't string them along to waste their time. If you know that, it's not fair. So that is Blake in a nutshell. And he's a very honest, upfront person. He is very kind, very loving. But if you want to know what he's thinking, he will tell you exactly what's on his mind. So that is him in a nutshell. And I think that when we talk about relationships, I think especially nowadays, in fact, honestly, I know whenever I share anything, even if it's like me doing a vlog for the day or me doing something, the number one question, and I don't get offended by this really. So if you've asked this before, don't be like, oh, she's talking about me. I'm not talking about you. It's just this question gets asked all the time. What does your husband do? What does he do? And I really want to talk about this idea of, first off, there's a couple things. When I was growing up, my mom used to say, when you are dating someone, and if you hear the birds, the windows are open in our room. When you're dating someone, you don't just marry that person, you marry the family. So be very aware that if you do marry that person, you marry the family. And if you do plan on having children, those are the people that your kids are going to be around. That does not mean they have to meet every single solitary criteria. That does not mean that they're not going to grow as people, but it does mean that you need to be very aware of, is that something that I can live with in its purest form currently? And I think that was really in my mind growing up. Not so much in high school, obviously, right? Because we're young and we're in love. And some high school relationships work out, mine did not. But I have friends who have been together since high school and they're phenomenal together. So I've seen both sides of that. Okay. So I'm not going to say this doesn't work, that doesn't work. And again, there are no absolutes here. I am just going to share from you in my experience what I feel are really helpful things in relationships to be aware of and some pitfalls that I've noticed myself. Okay. So like calling out myself, like let's preach to ourselves in this moment. And I think that first thing of knowing that person. Secondly, when you're dating someone, people get more pronounced with age. Blake and I always joke that I have been probably about, and I don't know, the number gets, I make the number larger as the years go on. First, it was like I've been 5 different women, then I've been 9 different women, and now it's like I've been 12 different women in the almost this year, 14 years that we've been married and 17 years that we've been together. And if you didn't know this and you're new here, I've known Blake since second grade. I grew up with Blake. We were friends. We have this running joke because we have photos from when we were kids that we quote unquote dated third through fifth grade. And I look back at that in the 90s and I'm like, what were my parents doing? What was this tomfoolery? Because if one of the tiny queens came and they were in third grade and they were like, I'm dating, I was be like, no, dude, what are you talking about? What do you mean this little boy sent you flowers or what's going on here? Because that's what Blake did. He sent me birthday flowers at school. What is going on? What do you mean this? Like, so to give that background, we've known each other a really, really long time. And I think that that is beneficial and it also has pitfalls as well. So the first thing that I want to touch on is the fact of people getting more pronounced with age. This is not to say that you don't grow and change because you do. As I said, I've been 12 different women. And Blake has grown and changed. And we've done that. And a lot of times people say, when you're growing in a relationship, if you're not growing completely like this, it's doomed to failure. I think that that's a little off base. I think if you're growing completely separately, and what that means is there is no desire to grow together. There's no touching base, coming together again when you notice that this is happening. I definitely understand that. But I don't think that you have to go completely at the same place in the same direction. I do believe that when it comes to certain things, there are just core things that need to be inherent with you, right? Like, because if you think about raising tiny humans, and I always use the example of like a vegetarian, right? If you are a vegetarian, right? And you're passionate about that and you want your kids to experience that option, right? But you have a partner who literally thinks it's the dumbest thing in the entire world, that to me is like a clear, like, oh, okay, wait a second. And then we bring other people. It's like, it's a little separate. But I do believe that in the world today, and there's this trend on TikTok right now of what makes marriage hard. Marriage is hard. People say marriage is hard. What makes marriage hard? And I have not wanted to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Let me tell you right now, somehow I'm going to do 2 podcast episodes on this because we're definitely not going to fit this into 30 minutes. But the recording on the platform that I do it is currently 30 minutes. So it's going to get cut in half. But here's the thing. I don't necessarily think that marriage is hard. I think that reminding yourself that people change and you're not the same person you were when you got married and that checking in is important and that changing our communication and talking with one another to do that is important. And when that doesn't happen, it makes things hard. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that marriage doesn't have ups and downs. Life has ups and downs. That'd be like saying life is hard. And someone being like, explain to me why life is hard. Let's go over the reasons that it might be difficult for other people. But I think that when you enter into a relationship, you want to be inherently aware of what someone's strengths and what someone's opportunities are, especially if they get more pronounced with age. I was told growing up, when you go to marry someone, be satisfied to the point where if they don't change at all, you'll be okay with that. Because so often as a young woman, I was like, I'm going to date him and I know he doesn't like X, Y, Z and this and this and this. And we're actually completely opposite and there's not a lot that aligns here, but you just give it time. Just give it time. Give it time. Because eventually, he's going to come around to what I'm saying. Like, we're going to line up. No, we were not. And like I said, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying people don't grow. I'm not saying people don't change. But I am saying don't go in with this idea that just with a little bit of XYZ, it's going to make everything sunshine and rainbows. Because most of the time, it doesn't work out that way. Again, staying away from absolutes. So let's make, I'm going to do something new. Try and make a couple bullet points here. First, in relationships, when you're looking at something, evaluate if this is a person that you want to invest time in for the long term. And invest, and frankly, determine if that's something that you're looking for right now. Maybe you're not looking for a long-term thing right now, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You're going to do what you're going to do, to each his own. But knowing if that's something you want to be aware of is something good to know going in. Secondly, don't think that with a little bit of time and a little bit of conversation and a little bit of hints and a little bit of this, that someone is going to change who they inherently are. Know that going in, if this person at where they are now did not change, this would be okay for me. I not just okay, but this would be good for me. I would be all right with this. I would be on board with this. I would move forward with this. And I think it's really important to say that I almost didn't walk down the aisle. And that had nothing to do with, like, I had such an absolute fear. I was getting ready to walk down the aisle. All my bridesmaids were there. My dad and I are standing. We are literally behind the door. And I told Blake this story a few years later. We were behind the door and I looked at him. I was like, I don't know about this. And he's like, what? And I was like, I don't, dad, and he looked at me and goes, you do not need to fear tomorrow if you feel confident about the person that you're walking with today. Oh my gosh, do you guys hear the lawnmower? Of course the lawnmower is going off. We're just going to power through that. Maybe you don't hear it. And he looked at me and he said, it is really scary to think about forever if you think about it all at once. But if you take it day by day and you're open to change, it's going to be okay. And I knew that even if something had really gone on or I was like really terrified, my dad was not going to literally push me down the aisle. But he knew me well enough to know that I was just nervous because I wanted to get it right and I wanted to do it right. And my personality is that way. So he said, I'm going to tell you a couple jokes and let's see what happens. So he told me a joke and I giggled and he said, how are you feeling now? And I said, a bit better. I also did not enjoy having 225 people stare at me while I walked down a church aisle. So that probably had a little something to do with it too. I just stared at Blake. And the minute I got to Blake, honestly, I didn't even think anybody else was in the church. The entire time, it literally felt like it was just him and I. But the touchy part of this that I want to get into with relationships is this idea out there right now. And again, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you shouldn't look for a partner that supports you. I'm not saying that you shouldn't look for a partner that will support you where you need support in what that looks like for you. But what I am saying is that today, a trend that I notice is people expecting the way that they view a relationship to be the way that you view a relationship. And I think the great opportunity I had with this was when I was doing a Q&A the other day and someone said, how do you divide the household labor with your husband? And it was a totally innocent question. And she was honestly just asking me like, girl, how do you divide the household labor? But that is such a loaded question in what I feel today's community is, because with that question comes judgment on Blake. See, I film these fun vlogs of spend the day with me and all this other stuff. Oh my gosh, that's so loud. I'm literally going to, hold on. I've got to shut the windows. Hold on a second. I can't live with that. Hold on. I'm dead. I just got up. Someone, Someone asked me once, how do you film the podcast? And I said in one take, because that's what it is. So anyways, so how do you divide the household labor? And when you tell someone, oh, I do the majority of the household chores, it is very trendy to be like, you don't get support. He's not doing the same thing. But here's the deal. In our home, and this is, again, this is what works for us. Blake carries 90% of the financial burden in our family. Do I need to share that information with you? No, I don't. But I want to give you context. I want to give you context in what might work for you and what might not work for you, right? Because in your relationship with your partner, it's going to be something that is going to come up, right? And because Blake does that and because Blake travels, it affords me and allots me the opportunity to be there for the girls, to take them to school, to pack their lunches, to have the career that I do. And I have up until, just so we're real clear here, up until 2020, I was working full time. About 50 hours a week. I had a job, not like an influencer job, not like a content creator, but like, you know, I do this because that's how people treat it. But I had a job. Blake and I both worked full time. We were both bringing in the income. And so we've lived that life where we're both full time working inside, outside the home, all that jazz. And I'm not going to get into the mental load and all that stuff. I am well aware of the burden that females carry. I am well aware as women, working women, stay-at-homes. And so I'm not really getting into all that. But what I'm getting into is this idea that lends its ear to keeping score in a relationship, which I can tell you without a doubt and without absolutes is one of the most the most surefire ways to create strife, discontentment, and frustration in your relationship. Because I've done it. I've done scorekeeping where you're like, well, I work today too. And I did this today too. And I'm doing the dishes and I'm cooking the dinner. And that's not to say that there aren't some conversations that need to happen in separate relationships. But again, I'm going to pull from my personal experience. So I don't want anybody to be offended or triggered in what I'm going to say, because I am not speaking about you. I am merely using my example. So when we talk about this question of how is the household labor divided, it's not in our house. I'm the household labor. That is my position in our family that works for us. I do the laundry. I do the dishes. I cook the dinner. I pack the lunches. I grocery shop. I pick the kids up. I take them. But here's what Blake does. Support all of that. Make all of that happen. That works for us. Now, over time, I have voiced to Blake, hey, I'm really tired or I need this. And we like to utilize what I call the tap-in method. I don't know, maybe someone else calls it this. Maybe somebody else has another name for it. I don't remember. It's probably, it was after our third tiny queen was born that we started this, because up until that point, I felt very supported and functional with what I was doing with the tiny people. It was two. We were at a good space. I was controlled in what I was doing. Things were going well. Having a third little human that was an unexpected gift that I was terrified of when I realized it, like we were going to have a third gift. I did not feel like a gift at the time. And that's an episode for another time where we will talk about the fact that that's okay too. That's okay. Sometimes surprises are scary. The greatest gift now though, oh my gosh, couldn't say enough good things. But I realized then that I was drowning. And what I had started doing was quietly keeping score, because all he was doing was going to work. He got to leave the house during the day. He got to chat with friends at the water cooler. He got to go out to lunches sometimes. Sometimes he went on business trips. And here I was working from home at a job where I telecommuted, right? And feeling like I had the weight of the world on my shoulders. But do you know what I didn't do during that time? I didn't tell him that. I didn't communicate that to him. I just kept getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And everyone always says when they see us and I talk about Blake, they're like, oh my gosh, your guys' relationship looks so, I'm like, you have no idea the struggles and the battles and the seasons that him and I have navigated through committing to each other over and over and over again. The best kind of commitment. I don't regret it. I can't even imagine it, like without him. But the amount of leaning in that we have done to ensure that we recommit to each other. But in this season that I was in, I started scorekeeping and then I started going online. Oh, this is where it got bad. I started seeing all these memes. And here's what I'm not saying. Hear me out. It is totally fine to joke about husbands and looking for things and peanut butter and all these things. But what that also was doing for me was already taking where I felt I was with, again, was not telling Blake any of this. Blake's over here just living. He's going to work. He's coming home. And here's the thing. He was participating. He was interacting. He was helping with stuff, right? But I was keeping score of every little minute thing I did because I was frustrated and I was angry because I didn't know what was going on. I felt so lost as a person. I felt frustrated by what was going on. And I would say things without saying things like, I'm tired. I guess I'm going to leave the dishes in the sink. I'll just take care of it in the morning. And in my brain, here's what happens. I imagined him thinking, I overheard that. I'm going to go over there and do it. Now, here's the thing. I'm not saying that you can't be empathetic and listen to your partner. But what I am saying is that a subtle hint, he's not a mind reader. He's not a psychic. He was in his mind decompressing, sitting with the kids, getting them ready for bed, doing a whole other thing. And he thinks, oh, okay. She said she'll do the dishes in the morning. I guess it's taken care of. Check. Because what I also learned in this time is that it's really important to understand how your partner communicates. And knowing Blake as long as I had, Blake is a say what you mean and mean what you say type of person. He is a, you have to tell me exactly what it is so I can understand. He's not a subtle hint man. My dad's subtle hint man. Me. Dad, I'm really tired when he visits us. I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed. Him. Okay. I'm going to sneak and do the dishes for Amanda. Because he's my dad, right? But what happens sometimes is we get comparative. Well, my dad does it without me asking. Well, I'm also his daughter. That's not my partner. So here's what we had gotten into, right? We had gotten into not communicating. We had gotten into where I obviously had felt overwhelmed and overloaded and was not wanting to share that. And the scorekeeping. Then tack onto that the idea of consuming social media content that only adds to what was building resentment. This idea of, well, he never looks for anything when he does it. Oh, well, he just goes and does this and this and this. And all of this stuff was just building verification in my mindset. It was validating the feelings that I was having, but was not sharing with Blake. And this is not to say, like, I don't want Blake to make 50% of the meals in our house. That actually is not what I want. I enjoy doing that. That is not everybody's shtick, right? So like, you're not going to want that, right? You're going to look for something else. Maybe you don't want to cook and you want your partner. That's a communication thing, right? So we had gotten to this point and I had gotten real frustrated and real unhappy and it was coming out. I was just unhappy. And I had started to snap at people and Blake was like, you're so unhappy. What is going on? Me. I don't know. I'm fine. Fine. Because in my mind, it was the thought, you should know. You should know why I'm unhappy. And I personally found this to be an extremely flawed way to have a good relationship with my partner and to say, hey, actually, you know what? I lied. I have silently, and this is what ended up finally happening. I ended up having a complete meltdown on our stairs. And this was the point that Blake actually encouraged me in a loving way to go back to therapy because he said, I have no idea what has happened. I have no idea what is going on. But I do not feel good about where you're at right now. And I don't want you to feel like this. It was such a blindside to him. And people might say, well, if he had known, well, if he had seen, well, if he had tried. Well, he was doing things, right? And when he was asking me, hey, are you good? Hey, do you need anything? Me, no, it's fine. It's fine. Me quietly in my brain. Well, I know I said it was fine, but like if you cared, you'd just do it anyway. I think it's important that we recognize what our partner's gifts are and what their opportunities are, what we need for them and how we can support them and vice versa. We share with them what our gifts are, what we feel really good at and what our opportunities are. And instead of condemning them for what they're not doing, we encourage each other where we're succeeding and we ask for support where we feel there can be greater opportunity. Because more often than not, for example, Blake was not the best diaper changer. He was not. He just, it wasn't his shtick, right? I can change a mean diaper to this day. Give me a baby. I'll do any diaper. It doesn't matter how big, how bad, whatever. I do it quick. I do it in less wipes than anybody and efficiently. Okay. But Blake's gift, the late night, tired, won't go to sleep, melting down. The infant stage was so hard for me because it's, how do I communicate? You're not telling me what you need. I feel like I can't give you what you need. I don't know what to do. And Blake would just come on in, and that was where he shined. So if I looked at him and I was like, why won't you just change a diaper? And he's like, what? You just need to change a diaper. I will hold it. It's like, recognize in life, in your house, in your home, in your friend group, where does your partner shine and where do you shine and how can you uplift each other? And instead of condemning one another, how can you combine those efforts and how can you encourage one another and communicate? Don't condemn, communicate. So it came to a point where I was like, well, I feel like I've been drowning. And I'll never forget Blake, the look on Blake's face. Why didn't you tell me? Well, and that's not to say that every time we have a conversation, he's like, opportunity to get better. Let's just jump in. Like, no, of course, the person is going to be frustrated. Well, I'm trying. Well, I'm doing my best. Well, I'm working too, right? But the pitfall in relationships, and we'll go into this with friendships as well, because I think it is important to evaluate, right? And here's what someone might say. Well, it's important for me to recognize how much I'm putting in because I don't feel like my partner puts in any at all. Again, that's, we're not getting into the issues of relationships where there is no effort on that side. They're literally like you, my mom calls it the Hoover. Okay. It's where they are constantly just sucking up and you're just continually giving, 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 giving. My mom used to call it the Hoover effect, with the Hoover vacuum. And she used to use it for friendships and relationships and stuff like that. But what I am talking about is that in relationships, so many things that have really helped me is realizing who that person is. Can I be happy right where they're at if they don't ever grow or change or develop, which honestly, most people do. How can I communicate what's going on? Because when you stop communicating, that's what makes it hard. And how can I further not box that person in? I will tell you, knowing Blake for almost my entire life, when we started dating, I thought I knew him already. He was 20, almost 21. I turned 21 and he turned 21 a couple months later. Just me being a 2-month-old cougar. Just kidding. But he was 20 and I was 20 when we started hanging out again. In my brain, he never left fourth grade. So I was like, oh, I know Blake. I know Blake. And I tell this story all the time. Have I told you this story? I don't know. But I was on a spring break when I had visited him. This was when we reconnected in college. And we were driving home from Disneyland. And he was like, why don't you put on some jams? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Pull out the old iPod. And I'm thinking, what does this dude have on his music? Please. And I started scrolling. And I'm like, what? These are jams, from R&B to Motown to rap to rock to all of the genres. And I was like, it was almost as if a switch went off in my mind. I was like, I don't know you at all, but I absolutely want to get to know you because your music taste is chef's kiss. So when we talk about relationships, something that I want to get into, and as we continue this episode, is let's bullet point a couple things. No one wins when you're keeping score. No one. Everyone loses. Everyone loses when you're keeping score. Social media, although a fun, great, humor relieving. And let me tell you what, the besties and I, we all have a group text with all of us, the besties and the husbands, of where we send each other memes and jokes so we can laugh at ourselves. But what I'm telling you is when it is validating a negative thought for you, it is not serving you. That consumption is overconsumption. And it does not lead to communicating with your partner more effectively. Realize that your partner has inherent gifts that make them stronger to your weaknesses and make you stronger to their weaknesses or opportunities. And do not hold a standard for them that is unachievable based off of that. And don't allow others to hold you to a standard that you know is unachievable for who you are. Whether that's organization or whether that's, I'm not very organized. Blake is extremely organized. I am on time everywhere. Blake tends to run a little late. So as we continue this conversation on relationships, remember that when we really dig into that and when we communicate and when we break these ideas of what we think other people expect and what it should look like, and we see our partner for who they are, it's a benefit to us and to them. And I just realized that this is actually letting me go over 30 minutes. So maybe this doesn't have to be two parts. Because in relationships, when you don't keep score, and when you're just looking for opportunities, and when you're encouraging your partner, you would be so surprised at what that does for them. See, because here's something I didn't realize. As a vocal person, I come home and I download my day to Blake every single day. I have a thought, I breathe, and I'm telling Blake about it. He is my actual best friend. I don't know how else to describe it. There are very few people that I feel I can 100% talk to, and they hear what I mean and not what I'm saying. They hear my heart. They literally hear my heart, not my words. And he's one of those people. And he never really chats about work. And this is only in the last couple of years that I had this epiphany. And I thought, I come home, I talk about my day. And I asked him about his day, right? So let's clarify this. I'm like, how was your day? Oh, it's good, blah, blah, blah. But what I realized further was when he would come to me and just start talking about something, I would be focused on what I was doing with the kids. I would be focused on something else that was going on. And I would think he was just rambling about work. So I'm like, oh, yeah, no, okay. I don't know what any of that means. I'm going to run. And it was interesting because I started to realize that he started doing it less and less, talking to me about work. And then I was like, you don't talk about work very much anymore. And he's like, honestly, it's because it seemed like you didn't care. And I was like, what? No, I care about you. And he's like, I know, just every time I started to talk about it, you just were like, I gotta go. I don't, you know. And I said, oh, I thought you were just like talking. And what I didn't realize was he was sharing. He was trying to share something that was going on and he was talking it out with me. And I was just like completely uninvolved. Completely not present, just like, okay, I gotta go. This was good. Good chat. I love that for us. I wasn't being a good listener. He was trying to communicate something to me and I wasn't doing it and we were missing each other. And this was becoming a huge thing because I don't see what he does at work every day. What I do can be seen. You can see me picking up groceries, making dinner, picking up kids, scheduling things, going to doctor's appointments, making content. This can all be seen by multiple people. But I'm like, oh, you're just answering a couple emails. You're just taking phone calls all day. You're on the phone all day. I can't get a hold of you. It's like, yeah, honey, I'm doing, you know, X, Y, Z. And I realized through this that it was really important for me to engage when he took a second to talk to me about work specifically. It made me realize that there was a double standard that I wasn't aware I was holding him to. I'm like, well, you don't ask me about my day. And he's like, well, you tell me about my day. And I'm like, yeah, well, I ask you about your day. And he's like, yeah, honey, but whenever I start to talk about it, you cut me off. I do not. And then I started to really take account of it. See, because I think a lot of times, how do I say this the right way? There is a mental load, there is a mental burden to being a female and stuff like that. But in the relationship, if I focused so much on the me experience, which I've done, it doesn't leave room for you, for them, which makes us. See, because in a relationship, it is a collaborative experience living life. It's one done together. And so often with what I focus on and hyper focus on, it didn't leave room for what his experience was too, because I could always one up him. I'm having like really bad stomach pains. I've had labor three times given birth. Yeah. I did that. Him. I didn't get very good sleep last night. I was up with the baby all night. At least you slept. See, because when you get in that keeping score comparison thing. And again, don't hear what I'm not saying. I can't say this enough times for this episode because I know someone's going to get upset about this. there are different relationships where partners are really honestly not supportive and partners are not there. And that is a whole other conversation. And it is not the one that I'm having. The one that I'm having is encouraging you today to not keep score with your partner, to not think that you know what they're saying. Blake and I, when we're talking, we'll say, don't hear what I'm not saying. And then sometimes we will pause. And this is a huge unlock that our therapist gave us. What do you mean by that? The most surefire way for conflict in a relationship is miscommunication. I will tell you right now, miscommunication is the number one way Blake and I are going to have a disagreement, because I'm thinking he's saying something and he's hearing something and it is completely different from what the actual experience is and what's actually really going on. And our therapist said, look, here's a couple things that I want to help you with. First off, when your partner says something and you immediately feel triggered and you are ready to literally throw some hands, stop yourself. Not actually throw some hands, you know what I mean? I'm talking figuratively, okay? But you're ready to pop off. You're ready. When your partner says something and you think to yourself, let's light this candle, pause. Look at them. What do you mean by that? Clarification is everything. Now, maybe they do meet that thing and mean what they said and you're about to light a candle, okay? But maybe they don't. And maybe what you're hearing and what they're saying, their intent and its impact are two different things. This is a great time for you to course correct your communication. I can't tell you how often Blake and I will have a conversation. And if we're really present and if we're really trying to understand each other, we are able to modify, grow, and change the way that we're communicating. And it opens up a conversation. And it is so cool when you have a conversation and you're like, wait, you didn't mean that. Okay, this is what I heard. And then they're like, no, that's not what I meant. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe next time if we could do this. And he's like, okay, but maybe if this, look at that. We made a cake. Okay. What do you mean by that? You feel triggered. You feel like let's light this candle. What do you mean by that? Also, the saying, don't let the sun go down on your anger. I do understand that resolving things is important, okay? In the first few years of Blake and I's marriage, the amount of arguments we fell asleep to were without end because we were young. We were 23. We were super passionate, and we thought you had to stay up all night to work it out. Our therapist helped us with the saying, when you're in a disagreement, I need to put a pin in this for a second. Can I tell you the helpfulness of walking away for 5 minutes in a frustrated, heated conversation? There is no better antidote. Now, that does not mean that then you come back and you're like, oh, okay, I'm actually not as upset. I'm not unbothered by this, and that you don't need to still talk about it. Because that brings me to the next point that our therapist helped us work on, is the conversations in relationships you're going to have that will be resolved and ones that will come back out and you'll keep unpacking the box. And we've talked about this before. There are conversations you will have about stuff and you will find an absolute solution and move on. There are conversations that you will not resolve, that you will unpack a little each time. And we actually, there was a box, I call it a box. There was a box that Blake and I had had conversations about for several years now. And it was so interesting because this week that box got finished being unpacked and we resolved it. And I thought, oh my gosh, we have found a solution. There has been trial and error in this box for so long. And look at us. Look at us. Is that little? Look at us. Look at us. So be open to the fact that there might not be resolve, but there can be growth. Not everything will have a solution, but there can be growth. There can be movement. There can be change. So where are we in this wild world? Okay, let's break it down, because I get a rental car today and I want to go get my rental car. No, I could talk to you all day about this. One day we'll have a live podcast and we'll be together and I'll bring Cindy and Blake and we'll just roadshow it. Okay, call me media companies. No, here's the thing. No one benefits when you keep score. There are only losers in that situation if you want to make a relationship work. You need to communicate. And if you don't feel like your partner is hearing you, get into that. Hey, I don't feel like you're hearing me. Do you understand what I'm asking for? This was me at one point. I'm drowning. Do you understand what that means? I literally feel unwell with what's going on. Do not allow resentment to take a root in your heart, because getting a root out is a lot harder than picking a weed. There are things in your life that will frustrate you in relationships. And when that pops up, I like to think of it as a weed. It's something that I can pluck and clean up the garden. If I don't want to pluck it right then, I can give it a second. A weed will grow. But once it has roots and it takes root, it is a lot harder to pull. And it has taken up space. So pluck a weed, don't grow a root. Communicate with your partner. Give them the chance to understand you. Do not let social media dictate how you think your partner and you should act, communicate, divide labor, work in your household. It is your relationship and your space. What works for you might not work for someone else. That is okay. There is no standard. It is not 50-50 in our house. Again, the tap-in method. Hey, I need you. I've got 20, you've got 80. I think Mel Robbins does that percentage thing. But the tap-in, I have looked at Blake at the end of the night. Literally, he's sitting, he's decompressing from the workday. I'm putting the dishes away and I have looked at him and gone, I have to tap out. And that is an immediate thing for him to be like, oh, okay. That is a word for us. That is, I'm pulling the emergency lever, Gronk. Help me out, okay? Because I am done with this day. And that is when Blake shines, because he swoops in for me. He comes in, he saves my day, honestly. He gets those girls up to bed. He gets the tiny queen Seabush, and he's sitting with them watching a show or something, and he's allowing me my time. But I communicate that with him. I don't expect him to look over, observe me looking troubled without any communication, because I could just be thinking about something weird that happened that day. So if you need to, utilize the tap-in method and don't allow social media, friends, anybody to dictate your relationship, okay? It's what you guys will figure out as it goes, and it changes with times. Play to your strength and your partner's strength and allow your weaknesses to support one another. Your opportunities, whatever you want to call it. Don't use it against them. He might not be a good diaper changer. She might not be good at bedtime. But you might. They might. Look for that. Remember that when you're doing something, it does not need to go defensive. Even though you feel like it, because you might feel forgotten and you might feel frustrated. Think in the we, not just the he, she. Do you know what I mean? Don't just think my partner is doing this. Think to yourself, we are on the same team. I want to play defense right now. Why is that? When your partner is talking to you and you want to light a match, think to yourself and say to them, what do you mean by that? And I know it's really hard. And Blake and I have had this conversation in the last 6 months where I was like, I'm having trouble being vulnerable about this, because there will come times in your relationships, because you grow and you change as a person, and you do get into little things, little disagreements, little conversations, little arguments that do have an impact on you as a person. So you might be hesitant about something. If you are, share that. This last few months, I have been going through something, just navigating that. It's felt really different this year with grief and loss, and it's been really confusing for me because I really thought I had a lid on it. And I had to tell Blake a couple weeks ago, I don't feel like being vulnerable about that. I don't feel comfortable being vulnerable right that, because I don't even know how to handle it myself, and I really don't want to hand it to someone to share, because that's really scary to me. And as my partner, Blake was like, I know it might not be this moment, but I need you to be vulnerable with me. You can't carry that yourself. I'm not going to get into the whole make time for each other and do all this. I do want to say that don't set up these standards. And I think that this started when Blake and I got engaged, these insane engagements, right? These insane proposals. And I love that. You want to go the extra mile, go the extra mile. Do not feel that there is less love because the gesture is not astronomical. I have more fun going on what we like to call cheap dates, where we see how cheap we can be on a date because we have nice nights out. Okay, we do nice nights out, but I enjoy little things with Blake, sitting up late and watching a TV show, playing 20 questions. Look for opportunities to connect with your partner in a very casual, unplanned way. Don't feel like you have to set it up where it has to be a certain way. And then take time to set it up where it has to be a certain way. But there is a lot of pressure today on what your relationship looks like, what he's responsible for, what she's responsible for. And if you're not getting that, then they're not giving it. And it's this very, very, very aggressive, accusatory, and absolute way of living. And when you stop living in the absolutes of you always, always, and you never, never, what I like to say is right now, it feels like more often than not, this is happening. Tell me where I'm wrong. Help me see it differently. Can we change that? Because honestly, I think what makes marriage hard is us trying to make it look a certain way for other people, for us examining things. And again, I'm not getting into what makes relationships hard in terms of partners that aren't supportive. I am saying it from this perspective of just you and allowing your relationship to be what it is. Because discontentment is bred from a negative consumption comparison. And your partner was once someone's tiny person. And they came into this world with all of the excitement and gifts. And the world kicked them down. And people in their life beat them down and beat you down. And on the really hard days when I feel frustrated, I think to myself, if one of my tiny people was feeling this way, what would I do? If one of the tiny people came to me and said, I had a tough day at school, and I said, well, at least she didn't have to go to my job today, which I know happens, okay? But in my home, it doesn't, because I don't want them feeling invalidated in their experience of a tough day. Because as an adult who's 37, my day in the scheme of things will always win out. So whenever I'm feeling that frustration, I think to myself, how would I support a tiny person in this way? And vice versa, have your partner do that. I always tell Blake, I'm like, if the girls came to you with this problem, what would you do? And he's like, yeah, I got to recalibrate how I'm coming at this. Don't be so offended by your partner, because if you're trying to be on the same team, you want to be better. To use a sports analogy, if you were on a football team and the quarterback went to the receiver and said, hey, dude, when you ran that one, that wasn't the play one. Let's try it this way. And he said, I was running exactly how I was running. Throw it to me better. Or if the receiver was like to the quarterback, you suck. That throw was awful. Why don't you do better? Versus realizing like, hey, let's figure out like, what do we want to strategize here? Let's get in the same playbook. Look at me. I'm wearing Nike and using sports analogies. I just want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today that relationships are the best kind of work. That you get to spend time getting to know someone and letting them get to know you. That it's scary, it's frustrating, it can be hurtful, but it can also be wonderful, developing, growing, changing, and full of love. A bad day does not constitute a bad relationship or marriage. A rough season doesn't mean it's all bad. And I want to encourage you to hold those boundaries and that standard for yourself and for what you deserve, of course. But remember that there's another person also holding a standard and a boundary for what they want and what they deserve. And this is not a male to female, just him, me speaking as a wife about husbands and how you should treat them. I am saying in a relationship, don't compare. It's not going to help you. If you notice the consumption is creating you to compare, which is breeding resentment, which is taking root, check in with yourself. Don't assume you know what your partner means, which is extremely difficult. My eye twitched. Ask them, what do you mean by that? Even if you've been together for years, people grow and change. Blake surprises me with some stuff. I can't remember what it was. A couple of weeks ago, he said something and I was like, what? What are you talking about? No, you do? My face literally, huh? Because you're people. Check in about the stuff you think you already know. Utilize it as an opportunity. And that's where we're going to end today. I love that I've been recording for 48 minutes. I guess I can make an hour on this now. Okay. They used to cut you off at 30 minutes. Do you love how I was like wrapping it up and then I didn't wrap it up at all? Listen, I love you. I love spending time with you. I am so grateful that you are here. I will never stop showing up for you. If everything went to gone tomorrow, I will still be here sharing this podcast with you, uploading it every single week, even if this wasn't the main thing that I did. And now we're going to get in close. And I know someone said this last week that I didn't bring in the last part. And I apologize for that. It is my favorite part. So if you have not heard this, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to receive this. You don't have to, but I really would love you to. What I'm going to say And I want you to realize that when I say it, I mean it. And if you haven't heard it lately, you are deserving of what I'm about to say. I want to start by saying, I love you. I am so happy you are here. You are needed. There is nobody like you. You have exponential and limitless potential. There is only one of you. I'm going to say it again. And you are needed. And I am happy that you're here. And if you're feeling a little bit lost, I'm going to add this. If you're feeling a little bit lost and you're feeling like, what am I even? Do not think that you do not have an impact and make a difference in someone's life. You are loved, you are seen, and in this space, you are valued. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you have an amazing week. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I can't wait to continue to share more with you. And if you liked the episode, share it with your friends, tag me, let me know. I love seeing when you guys are listening, okay? So have a great day, and I'll talk to you next week.